help God, help me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me to see the truth about how you want me to show up here today and the words that you want to come through me and who you want me to touch. And please enable me to set aside my fear to show what you can do through me. I say these words because the way I used to show up on the outside was the most important thing to me. So, again, good morning. My name's Cindy, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in North Carolina. I'm not cured, but gratefully living in a recovered state today by God's grace and mercy. I came into OA in May of 2021, not because I weighed almost 260 pounds, but because I was on the verge of a more acute emotional death. I felt like the walking dead. I have pictures. I'll go ahead and share those that show the external symptoms of my disease, but there are no internal pictures. In fact, can you all see my screen now? This little girl, who lives and still lives inside of me, I was thinking of that song this morning, Lying Eyes, like her smile is a thin disguise. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then this is a picture of me in my late 20s. Those are my two of those girls are my adult daughters. One is a friend's daughter. And that it looks like I was in a recovered state in that photograph, but I was not. This disease swings to both ends of the spectrum. This was a picture of me with my little grandson. We'd gone to, there's a Krispy Kreme in Raleigh. I live near Raleigh, and it we frequented that place very often. And here's a photo of me with my grandson again and my daughter. And this was my oldest daughter's wedding 6 years ago. And that was my youngest daughter. That's probably about my heaviest weight. She was 17, 16 and a half there. Today she's 29. And then this was her wedding, my youngest girl's wedding last April, and that's my new son-in-law. So a picture's worth a thousand words. And I'm going to stop the share. I never had a normal, what I would call a normal relationship with food. It was like my friend and also a foe. I ate against my will without my own permission, and I couldn't stop. And God knows I tried. I ate for the effect. I wanted to feel numb. I wanted an easier, softer way. And I don't know if I was born with this disease. I don't know if it developed over time. All I know, I'm a compulsive overeater, is because when I eat my alcoholic foods, I can't predict what's going to happen to me. Over time became like the solution to all my problems. And in many ways, it saved me. That little girl you all saw earlier, that photo of her, I grew up in a home with two very violent alcoholics. There was a lot of physical abuse, trauma, sexual abuse, you name it, it went down in our house. And And I learned like to just show up in life, no matter what was happening, to have that smile and those kind of blank eyes, that it was like as long as everything on the outside was okay, then I was okay on the inside until I wasn't. And I did some crazy things with food. Like I ate food off the floor. I ate food out of the garbage. I ate food that didn't belong to me. I snuck food. I stole food from stores and other people's plates. And I was never a social eater. Like I think, people, it's like a social thing. They get together and they eat. That wasn't me. When, I felt disconnected from other people when I ate. I think normal people eat as a way, like I said, to connect. And all I could hear when I was, around other people with the food was the chatter in my head. I should have got what they got. Theirs looks better than mine. Should I eat that second roll? What will they think of me? Just the whole time, this little crazy, crazy voice in my head. Was there going to be enough? I knew there was never going to be enough. And nothing was ever enough. There was never enough food. There was never enough money. There was never enough love. Never feeling happy or satisfied with what I had. My disease wanted more and it took it. I heard someone say once that this disease is like dancing with a gorilla. You don't stop dancing until the gorilla says it's over. I hear, and I've said it myself, I'll start over on Monday. I'll start fresh tomorrow, not truly realizing the power of this disease and the impact that it had on my life. And over time, that desire for more increased. Like it took more and more and more. To feed that gorilla. And, I got married really young. I thought, if I had a husband and I had a family, if I could just get out of my home, and get married, then, my life would be okay. But my husband was very critical of my weight, and God, did I try to beat it into submission? And I couldn't. I remember sometimes my clothes would be so tight and I would feel so uncomfortable. I would feel sick. And through the years, I threw away thousands of dollars on clothes. My weight would zoom up and then I would lose weight and it would just go down. And it was normal to have six different sizes of clothing in my closet at any given time. And I always felt separated from the world, sitting on the sidelines. It was like this imaginary pane of glass between me and my family, my children. And there was nothing between me and the food, and there was too much of me between me and God. And so in May of 2021, I think there was a lot of things that happened. The main health crisis that I had was, I had developed osteoporosis in my 50s, and I think it was a culmination of severe neglect and malnutrition as a child and malnutrition as an adult. I ate nothing cooked. I everything I ate came out of a box and a bag, and so I ended up I broke my back and my hip. It was a spontaneous fracture. It wasn't caused by anything except brittle bones. And I was in a wheelchair. But, God even used that to bring me to my bottom, I guess. I was beaten and contemplating ending my life, which scared me to death. And so that's what brought me in. And I heard this speaker recently say, she's like, you know, when you come into OA, if you don't feel like that little turd emoji with eyes, you know, we have on our phone, she's like, then you're not ready. You know, if you come in with fixed ideas about how things should go, you're not ready. I was ready. I'm a 100-pounder, and I just recently came out of denial about that. And you know, I page 30 in the big book talks about I had to fully concede that I was not like other people. I had to surrender that to the idea that I was 100% hopeless apart from divine intervention. I felt like in the end stages of this disease. I have cirrhosis of the liver. I have a lot of problems with my heart. And I work this program with God's help because my life depends on it. And so, you know, I came in the door. I very quickly got a sponsor. I got abstinent, and it was super wobbly at first. And it took a village. It took a fellowship of a lot of lovely, sorry. A lot of lovely people to get me to where I am today. And some of them are here in this meeting today. And I'm really grateful that God has done for me what I could not do for myself. But today, each day is an invitation from God to follow him and do his will or die in mind. I've had just such a profound alteration in my reaction to life. I'm learning to keep my mouth shut, offering grace to people who, in my alcoholic food alcoholism, judgmental mind, didn't deserve grace. And but only through God's grace am I ever, how do I say this? Am I able to offer that to other people? And I'm not cured, but I'm promised, and this is a promise, a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance. And I like that word, of my spiritual progress, because it's like I co-create with God and I show up. I do the work. You know, Jen asked me to speak today, and I just said yes. I haven't always said yes. And I'm going through some really difficult things right now in my life, from the trauma from the past. And yesterday I just felt terrified. I thought, Lord, why did I say yes? I'm not doing it. I'm going to call in sick. But then I remembered God, and he said, you can with me. And my point in saying that is he's altered my thinking and my heart. I've had a spiritual awakening. I show up better in my relationships, or I should say I just show up because I never did. I've stopped fighting, and I say yes. I handle things better. I come to work with a different attitude. Not perfectly, I mind you, because I'm human. And I'm a work in progress. But I try to practice my ideals. I don't sit on the sidelines all the time anymore. I still do some, but not all the time. And God has changed me into a girl who wants to help other people. In the family afterwards, on page 123, it says, though old buildings will eventually be replaced by finer ones, the new structures will take years to replace. And I'm beginning to accept God's timetable a little better. I think if I had gotten, the results that I wanted in my timeline, I don't think I could have coped with it. Because as the layers have come off, it's painful what's underneath the food, the things. Is that my 5 minutes, Kelly?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Thank you. So God gives me tiny, tiny thimbles of love, and I can deal with that. And he gave me a second chance at life, and I took it. It's a free and unmerited gift. I didn't earn it. I'm just more willing and honest to allow God to clear the junk out. I work the steps. I work daily to increase my spiritual program. I try to be of service, sponsor, work the steps, go to meetings, practice prayer and meditation. The big book says I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us. So I just want to thank you all for having me here today. And I want to end with this written meditation by Henri Nouwen. He's a Dutch priest. And he says, God sees us as we really are. Neither more nor less, and he loves us. I have trouble seeing even myself, much less others. I learned to be a hypocrite because I learned that transparency and authenticity are unacceptable, and at the least, leave me vulnerable and open to attack at the worst. And that is what being spiritually sick is like for most of us. My personality, my very self has become deformed, twisted, and out of shape. I am distorted by the burden to perform, to constantly have to prove to myself to be worthy, to be acceptable, to be loved. And year by year, I get more and more further away from what I really am and who I really am. And until one day I find I don't even know who I am anymore. And that's where the feelings of loneliness, isolation, and uselessness come from. That is the bondage of self. I am bound to a self that is not me. And I can't set myself free, but my loving Heavenly Father can do that for me. So thank you so much for allowing me to be of service today, and I'll pass.